Republican lawmakers are fast-tracking their effort to make Wisconsin's voter ID law a part of the state constitution. It's Wednesday, January 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, federal wildlife regulators have denied petitions from hunting groups that sought to remove or reduce protections for gray wolves. And almost 50 years ago, Elvis Presley made his last stop in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
Republican lawmakers are moving quickly to advance a proposal that would enshrine Wisconsin's voter ID law in the state constitution. 2 days into the new legislative session, the Senate held a committee vote on the plan. The full Senate is scheduled to vote on it today. Co-author Van Wongard of Racine argued it was an effort to prevent the Wisconsin Supreme Court's liberal majority from overturning the law.
I cannot say for certain how the Wisconsin Supreme Court would rule on voter ID laws, but I'm also not willing to risk a Wisconsin Supreme Court unburdened by precedent and the Wisconsin Constitution declaring voter ID laws unconstitutional.
Democrats who oppose voter ID say the requirement creates barriers to voting. The move to make the law permanent could go before Wisconsin voters as early as April. More than 1,000 people have now donated to support the victims of a shooting last month at a private school on Madison's east side. Sarah Lear has this update.
A fundraiser overseen by the United Way of Dane County has brought in more than $240,000 in the aftermath of the December 16th shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. A United Way spokesperson says 100% of the proceeds will go to the Abundant Life community, with priority given to families who lost loved ones. After that, funds will go toward medical expenses of the people injured and to support the mental health needs of the school community. Police say a 15-year-old shooter killed herself after fatally shooting Ruby Vergara, another student, and Aaron West, who worked as a teacher. Two teenage students have been battling life-threatening injuries but are now in fair condition at American Family Children's Hospital. Four other people suffered injuries that were not life-threatening. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Federal wildlife regulators have denied petitions from hunting groups which sought to remove or reduce protections for gray wolves. As Danielle Kading reports, the petitions targeted wolves in the western Great Lakes region and West Coast states.
The petitions were brought by four groups, including the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association and Sportsmen's Alliance Foundation. They argued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service should reduce or remove protections for wolves in the western Great Lakes region and West Coast states because their populations have recovered. The agency said the petitions didn't show such actions were warranted. Todd Atkins with the Sportsmen's Alliance says the decision ignores science.
I can only assume it's based on politics. Because the data is clear, gray wolves in the western Great Lakes far exceeded recovery goals that have been established for a very long time.
That's based on a 1992 wolf recovery plan. The Humane Society of the United States says that plan is vastly outdated, adding wolves are still absent from most of their historic range. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin health experts say that people with backyard chickens and other poultry should be on guard against avian flu. This after a backyard poultry owner in Louisiana became the first person in the United States to die from avian flu this week. Peter Heffman is an influenza researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says the virus is still considered a low risk to humans, but people who own poultry should be taking precautions, especially if they have a sick bird.
With good hygiene measures, don't touch that animal. If you do have contact, make sure you wash your hands. You don't touch your eyes.
Heffman says more surveillance testing is needed to keep an eye out for the virus in humans. The disease has affected more than 60 people in the United States, including a farm worker in Wisconsin. However, there's been no evidence of human-to-human spread so far. Coming up, Back in 1977, Elvis Presley made his final appearance in the state of Wisconsin. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll have an episode about how the multi-talented artist also showed off his martial arts skills. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
You're wondering how hot this summer is going to be?
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just, this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about the last time Elvis Presley was in Wisconsin. We're sharing it today on what would have been the King's 90th birthday.
Throughout his career, Elvis Presley mastered so many talents.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
He was a musician, actor, dancer, and of course, martial artist. Elvis's passion for karate played out on the streets of Madison in the late 1970s. It was just before he played his final show in Wisconsin at the Dane County Coliseum. Writer Dean Robbins takes us back to that fateful moment in Wisconsin music history. The story first aired in August 2012 to mark the anniversary of Elvis's passing.
The Elvis Presley story has religious overtones. A poor boy is endowed with divine talent, then rises from obscurity to become a rock and roll god. I'm a true believer myself. I've even made pilgrimages to the Elvis shrines in the South, his birthplace in Tupelo, and Graceland, his home in Memphis. Many Elvis fans will flock to those sacred sites this year for the 35th anniversary of his death. But Wisconsinites needn't go that far to observe the solemn occasion. We have a sacred site of our own right in Madison, not as well known as Graceland, but authentic nonetheless. At a busy intersection on the east side of town, a small stone marker bears Elvis's image. It stands on the spot where the King of Rock and Roll performed a real miracle in the middle of the night on June 24th, 1977. Elvis had just flown into Madison for a concert, and he was still wearing his sparkly jumpsuit. On the way to a hotel, his limousine stopped at the fateful intersection, East Washington Avenue and Highway 51. Elvis looked out the window, and at the corner gas station, he saw two guys beating up a teenager. He flung open the car door. "I can't let this happen," he said, in savior mode. Over the strenuous objections of his bodyguard, he strode toward the attackers. Now remember, this was the summer of 1977. Our hero was overweight and ailing. But he did have a black belt in karate and a not unwarranted confidence in his power to change the course of human affairs. One can only imagine how the villains felt when a sparkling, obese man approached them, throwing karate kicks and shouting, "I'll take you on." One can only imagine their shame when they realized it was Elvis Presley himself who had caught them in an evil act. They stopped in mid-punch, and their victim fled to safety. After such an otherworldly experience, I wouldn't be surprised if the two thugs vowed to reform right on the spot. As awed bystanders watched in wonder, Elvis shook hands all around, jumped back in his limousine, and vanished into the night.
Don't mention my name. Forget what you came.
Police officers and newspaper reporters showed up later to make sense of the visitation. The gas station rescue was the last miracle of Elvis's life. He died less than 2 months later. But Wisconsin still has the corner of East Washington Avenue and Highway 51 to remind us that he once walked among us, performing extraordinary feats. I've stood there more than once, staring at the patch of ground where the gas station used to be. I swear that, even as traffic whizzes by, you can feel Elvis's presence.
Writer Dean Robbins brought us that story on Elvis breaking up a fight in Madison. The technical producer for this piece was Joe Hartke.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Always a good day when you get to talk about the King. Hey, quick check of weather before we let you go. It's going to be mostly calm across the state today. Good mix of sunshine and clouds with high temperatures in the teens and 20s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, leave us that rating and review on your favorite podcast app or send us your feedback. You can email us at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.